welcome back to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. We are back from Easter, and always, as always, that was what I was supposed to say. My name is Søren Otto. I hope everybody out there has had a good time since we spoke last. Today, we're going to have a talk with none other than Peter Garnery, our head of equity strategy, and we're going to talk equity and a little bit of macro too. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Hi, Søren. I'm doing great. Thanks for being on again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's been, I feel like it hasn't really been that long, but it feels like it's been forever also since I recorded outside of the studio. But now I am back and I am thrilled to be here. Peter, today we're going to talk a little bit about, we can't really leave out Tesla and what they came out with yesterday. So we're going to touch upon that, and then we're going to look at the regional equity performance in the US, Europe, and Asia. Then you also just released your quarterly outlook, so we're also going to talk a little bit about your article from that. And then we're going to close out with sort of the biggest macro figures that has come out in the last few days or last week. But I think we should just get started with Tesla, who came out with an earnings release or an estimate yesterday, which was, quite surprising, it seemed, to the markets. What was it that came out, and why was it so surprising, Peter?
Well, if we round up, they delivered in Q1 387,000 cars versus 449,000 expected. So an almost 15% miss against analyst estimates. That was the biggest miss in Tesla's history as a company. So that's pretty significant. There are a lot of factors driving this. So one of the factors that they also try to sort of mitigate the initial shock value on Wall Street was that the transportation disruptions through the Red Sea because of the Houthi attacks on Western ships related to the war between Hamas and Israel have diverted some cars, and that makes means that the delivery of figures were impacted in the quarter, but doesn't explain the full story. There is a deterioration in electric vehicle demand, and there is increased competition from Chinese EV makers. That is the real story. And Tesla shares were down almost 6% yesterday. And I'm just looking at the Bloomberg terminal right now. It's down a little bit more than 1%, almost 2% in pre-market today. So this is something that is going to impact the narrative around Tesla. And we also wrote a note to clients this morning, which is already out on the platform. So if you're a Saxo client, you can read it. For non-clients, you can also find it online. So the big question is, where does it leave Tesla from here on? I think it's pretty clear by now, and you and I have talked about this before, Søren, with it's really changes in expectations that are the real driver of where the stock price go. Compared to late 2021, the stock price is down 60%. Tesla has almost doubled its revenue in the same period. The EBITDA, the operating profit before depreciation and amortization, taxes and interest, the whole thing, is up almost 40% in the since late 2021. So newcomers to the equity market will probably find it puzzling that a company can be down 60%. When it has almost doubled its business volume and also increased its operating profit. But nevertheless, that's the case because back in 2021, expectations were very different. Expectations were not reflecting high interest rates because of inflation. It was not reflecting significant competition from other EV makers, especially the Chinese. And it was not pricing in correctly some of the, I would say, negative impacts on customer experience from lack of adequate and good EV grid infrastructure. That's the landscape right now.
Yeah, and I guess Tesla is part of this. Generally, there's been this idea of this Magnificent Seven, etc., in the US, and we have also, when we come to the quarterly outlook, we will talk about sort of overstretched valuations. But did this flow into the general U.S. market? How is it looking like within the last week or so for the U.S. market? How has that performed? And has this news from Tesla dragged it down? Because it is obviously a big company.
Well, if we look at U.S. Equities over the past week, we're down 1% in the Nasdaq 100 index. I'm not looking at the futures here. I'm just looking at the cash index. And how does that compare? Well, Europeans, the leading benchmark in Europe is up 0.2% in the same period. Chinese equities up 1.5%. Japanese equities are down actually 3%. So that's really where the damage has been. So I think it's weighing a little bit on sentiment. But you know, we have to remember that we're coming into this second quarter on the back of a very strong Q1 in terms of equity returns. And quite frankly, also a pretty strong Q4. So we've had almost half a year of very strong equity returns. And if you look at the year to date, I mean, the S&P 500 is still up 9.1%. European leading benchmark index up almost 12%. Nikkei up almost 18%. So I think it's just an equity market here that is trying to grapple with, which I think we're going to talk about now, Søren. I mean, the whole macro landscape, how is it influencing the market's expectations for rate cuts? What about China? What about the geopolitical tensions? I mean, we've seen commodities recently being impacted as Ukraine have been successful in hitting Russia's largest oil refiner, 1,200 kilometers away from the border. That's disrupting oil markets. So there's a lot of things to digest for the market.
Definitely. And we'll come back to this macro landscape, as you say, in a little bit. I just, based on this, both Tesla and also the regional developments that you mentioned, I just want to, I guess this is kind of marketing, that we have this quarterly outlook that we put out every quarter, looking ahead to the coming quarter. You can go and read it. It came out today. So if you want to read it, go to our website or the platform if you are a client. And Peter, you wrote a piece there about the overstretched valuation of tech/AI and obesity drugs, but potential overvaluation. And then you look towards something like European defense stocks as more of an interesting case. Could you just give us sort of a short version of the take you have in the quarterly outlook? Because obviously then I would only recommend people to go and read it afterwards.
Yes, of course. So the one of the main takeaways is that the U.S. equity market has become pretty overstretched. We like U.S. equities strategically, which we also describe in the outlook why that's the case. But for this quarter, we have actually moved to a neutral stance. So tactically, we are more negative than our really long-term view on the U.S. equity market because of overstretched valuations due to the obesity and the AI hype. And just very quickly, I really recommend, there was a great article yesterday by Demis Hassabis, which is one of the co-founders of Google's DeepMind, which is their very successful AI unit. And I think he said some things that I have sort of had a gut feeling about, but it's just really nice to get it from a key insider. He's like the top three guy in the whole AI industry. And he said there's just too much hype about the wrong things about AI and too little hype about the real things about AI. And he said that, you know, the hype factor around AI just pulled in so much capital that in areas of AI where you don't really have, which will not really provide the big breakthroughs that we need on AI. And he said actually that a lot of the hype right now in AI is diverting attention away from the real discoveries needed, scientific discoveries needed to take AI to the next level. And I must admit, I find it myself. I mean, I've never experienced anything like it. I mean, the past 6 months, I've been randomly contacted on my Bloomberg terminal by five or six different companies, all companies I've never heard about before, but they somehow, they brand themselves with this, oh, we created this platform for analyzing this, that, and that with AI. It's really revolutionary. And then when you really look at it, it's not really solving a problem that I have, or is not really solved already by some of the tools I'm using. So, so that was a long answer. Sorry. So we're neutral on US, and we've actually moved to a positive view on Europe for the second quarter, because we think that there's so many bad things priced in Europe, and it's one of the cheapest equity markets, and we actually think that you're actually getting a decent trade or a bit right there. And then we've actually moved to an outright negative position for the quarter, both for Japanese equities and emerging market equities. That emerging market equity is called could be a little bit troublesome. We'll see because of what's happening in China. We can come back to that in our macro discussion. And then across the sectors, I think the key points to take away there, we are positive on the energy sector, the healthcare and financials. And the only one which is really diverting a lot tactically from our strategic view is actually the IT sector. The IT sector, we had actually put in a negative view, but we are positive strategically on this sector. We just really think that there's a stretch, an overstretched situation right now. And then we highlight European defense companies as sort of our conviction play. It's the theme basket that is up the most among those that we track. And we just think that European defense companies will continue to thrive in this current environment. We had NATO coming out today saying that they want to aid Ukraine with up to 100 billion euros, and the EU is opening up one program after another to support the military complex in Europe.
Yeah, so go check out the quarterly outlook if you want to have a further deep dive into what Peter discussed here. And you can also read articles from our other experts around commodities, fixed income, FX, etc. So I can only recommend you to go and have a look if you want to get our view on the coming quarter. Otherwise, obviously, we will be right here at the podcast to convey our thoughts around what's going on in the world. And that's also what we're going to do now, Peter, because now we've talked about equities. And as you say, in a quarterly view, neutral-ish on the U.S., slightly negative maybe on a tactical aspect, positive on Europe, and then somewhat negative relatively on the Asian regions maybe. And then we'll come into China, as you say, in a little bit, but since we don't do an episode with Charo this week, I think we should look at the macro picture as well and see what kind of news are coming out. And I think we should start here in Europe, where we had German inflation numbers, and we also had European inflation numbers, which, I mean, I guess the inflation is generally falling a little bit, and if you look at core inflation, less than on the headline numbers, but I guess this is pointing towards the potential of seeing these rate cuts, as you mentioned. How do you interpret what we've seen in the last few days?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the market is getting a little bit bifurcated or diverging a little bit here. The European and German CPI numbers are coming in a tad below expectation. Although, you know, if you look at some of the month-to-month figures, inflation is still present in Europe. I think that the economy is running way harder in the US, so the inflationary pressures are definitely larger in the US. The market is currently pricing 3 rate cuts for the US and 3.5 rate cuts, so almost 4 for the ECB by the end of the year. So that, you know, that's the development on the inflation side. And then what really happened over the past couple of weeks is that the data points coming in on the US economy is just increasingly been better and better. And yesterday we had better than expected factory orders. Today we've had a better than expected ADP employment change, which is always the leading figure going into the non-farm payroll figures on Friday this week. The US labor market seems to be running very tight and still very robust. The big development we had was actually on Monday, because on the Monday trading, which was April 1st, and that was not an April's Fool, but China was actually coming out with numbers showing that their economy seems to be bouncing back quite a bit, and that took the so-called SOFR contract, which is basically the overnight financing rate, which is basically a futures contract and on a rate that is used to price where the Fed funds rate is going to be. And just to translate what happened is that we had the biggest move, new low for the cycle, and we are taking a new low today because of that ADP number. And we're getting close to those low figures on the SOFR contract for December this year. So basically the pricing of where the policy rate of the Fed will be by the end of the year, getting close to those levels we had back in October before we had the huge repricing of bonds and policy rates, and we went to all the way to 7 rate cuts by the end, and now we are at 3, and it seems like the market is scaling back. I don't think we'll end up with no rate cuts at all. I know some are arguing for that. I do think actually that the Fed will do rate cuts. Probably right now with the current momentum of the economy, it's probably more likely that we will get 3, potentially 2. So with the information we have, that's probably where we are right now.
And I guess I think I'm always coming back to this when we talk about it. The U.S. election in November seems to be a kicker relative to that, because once we come to the other side of summer, it sounds like the Fed don't, if they haven't started yet, I guess they will be very hesitant to start doing several rate cuts sort of going into the fall and early winter.
Yeah, you can say that, you know, you can say that it's a central bank needs to be apolitical, right? It should not have a political view on anything, but it's just, you know, monetary policy has been politicized significantly since the great financial crisis, and you're right, I don't think the Federal Reserve wants to be seen as someone that is adding too much juice for the incumbent president. So if we look at the pricing of the Fed, it's, you know, in the market right now, it is priced before the election to have cut interest rates by almost 75 basis points. So and right now it looks like the likelihood of a rate cut will come in June. So the next meeting coming up for the Fed, I was looking at the ECB. So there's the next rate cut for the Fed is in July. So the next Fed FOMC meeting is in May, and then June, and then in late July, the 31st of July, that is what the market is currently pricing. We'll get that rate cut. And if you look at apologize, because if we look at how many rate cuts are priced in before the election, the market is actually at 1.5 rate cuts. So sorry for the confusion before.
No worries, Peter. That's what happens when you work with numbers. They can get mixed up at some points. Peter, I think that was more or less what I had on my paper for today. Is there anything else you want to highlight before we say goodbye? I definitely want to ask you sort of on an overall level if there's any stocks that you pay specific attention to at the moment. But is there anything else apart from that you wanna mention before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that the Q1 earnings season kicks off next week. So Thursday and Friday, in particular on Friday, we get the usual pack of U.S. financials, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, etc. will report, and then basically we kick into gear from there. I think right now the market is very much in a waiting position. It feels quiet. Non-farm on Friday might add to the momentum on the rate expectations and take them back even further. We will we'll have to look at that. But otherwise, yeah, I'm watching Tesla. I think Tesla to some extent is still an important beacon for sentiment in technology stocks. And then of course there is still the whole AI cluster, and some of the recent IPOs that have come to the market is just really red hot. I think there will be a lot of investors that will be disappointed down the road. But for now, the animal spirits are still running strong in markets. I think that's is the correct definition of what's going on.
Yeah, and I think that's to me, it's just remarkable how fast time flies. I feel like we just stood here and covered the last earnings season like literally a week ago. But that's just me, and obviously time flies. Peter, I think I would. I'll close it off here. Thank you so much for coming and making us all a little bit smarter. As always, I look forward to doing podcasts with you again next week.
Me too, son. Thank you.
And that was everything we had today. I just want a little bit of programming news is that this is going to be the only episode this week, but from next week, we're going to be back on our regular programming, which is going to be 3 times a week, starting with Charu and then Peter and then some thematic episode that we're going to decide on at a later stage. But I don't think there's anything more to say really than on behalf of Peter, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo. My name is Søren Otto. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back anytime soon. And until then, happy trading.